Yes, I agree with what Jackie is saying. Thank you, Jackie. If it will make you feel better, I planned these notes a long time before I had any idea I'm going to be sharing them here. So a lot of these, actually, a lot of these notes were just simply, I've had a vision for years for my daughters, and I kept thinking, what would happen if I would die and my husband would be left to raise my daughters, and or maybe he would remarry and that woman wouldn't have a lot of convictions that I have. And I just wrote some of these things down, and then of course I got a lot of it together when I was thinking I'm going to have it somewhere else, but it never worked out to have it there then. But just so you know, I did not prepare this targeting you. I have no desire to attack you today. I just want you to know that this is my vision for my daughters. I want them to be princesses that are totally above reproach. And if you can glean something what I am sharing for my daughters, then praise the Lord, and I do ask you to please be open, because we do learn from each other. I've learned from my family. It's a blessing having my family here. I mean, it's good to have them back there after you speak the first time and say, you don't really look at the people, you kind of look up here. And so I'll try to do better with that. We are, every one of us, checker pieces. There is someone moving us. It is either Christ or it's Satan. We often don't think of that. We think, I am making my own decisions. I am the boss of what I want to do. And we don't realize all we're doing is listening to one or the other, and they're just, you know, moving us however they want to. As princesses, we need to be very careful of decisions we make, of clothing we wear, or we are allowing the devil to be using us, to be moving us, and to be gloating over God because he won. Okay, my title for today is The Spirit of Modesty in a Princess versus the Spirit of a Harlot. I think many times a lot of our young girls have no idea that they are portraying the spirit of a harlot. And I would like to just teach you what a harlot spirit is, to show you what to avoid in your life. First of all, let's define modesty. Do you have the sheets of paper that I had out on the ends of the benches so you can kind of follow along where I'm speaking? If you don't, I think there might be a couple stacks along this side. You can kind of share, maybe, if you have a lot. I have made like 150 copies, so you can surely find one somewhere. Okay, let's define modesty. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says, restrained by a sense of propriety, bashful, chaste, moderate, not excessive, bashful, reserved. I looked it up in the Vines Expository Dictionary, and it says, orderly, well-arranged, decent, modest. The well-ordering is not of dress and demeanor only, but of the inner life, expressing itself in the outward conversation. And I will be addressing that more than even outward modesty, because often if we have inward modesty, the outside is no problem. I will be addressing some outwardly, but mostly inside. Okay, the spirit of a harlot is the opposite from the spirit of modesty. I looked up numerous passages of scriptures and proverbs and different places throughout the Bible where it talked about a harlot. And I looked it up in the book called The Word. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's like 26 translations of the Bible together. And the connotations that I got, I wrote down here. A harlot is a wanderer. She's one that goes astray. She's unsettled, to roam, to err. That's what a wanderer means. It's one that goes astray. She's unsettled, she roams, and she errs. A harlot is a flatterer. Flatterer means false praise. Bestowing phrase agreeable to one's self-love. It's a fawner. A harlot has a loud spirit. Loud means having a great sound, or showy, or clamorously. A harlot has a stubborn spirit. She is not to be moved or persuaded. She is obstinate. A harlot has an unchaste spirit. She is not free from impure desires. She lets the connotation out about herself, loose woman. Loose woman is to be careless, to relax when you shouldn't relax. She has the attitude, let my body give you pleasure. A harlot is wanton. Wanton means not to be kept in due restraint, frolicsome, rank, to sport lustfully. A harlot is faithless. She does not adhere to duty that she knows. A harlot exercises deadly charms. Deadly charms would go to enthrall or delight wrongfully, using her enchantments. And a harlot has the spirit of debauchery, the spirit to corrupt and to pervert. This is very strong language, and we think, I don't really have a problem with that. Let's wait until we see a little more. Let's address modesty in spirit and action first. A lot of outward immodesty is traced back to the heart issues. You can pretty well see by someone's actions or dress where their heart is many times. If you take care of immodesty of your spirit, the outward is almost no problem. Sometimes it can be in ignorance, but I wonder how much ignorance we really have many times. The spirit of modesty is to be inconspicuous, not to be noticeable. In a crowd of people, people's eyes won't be drawn to you. The spirit of a harlot is to be noticed. You want people's eyes drawn to you in a crowd of people. A lot of people judge you by your clothing, and you might say that is unfair, but it's pretty accurate. Many times. You pretty well dress how you want to dress, don't you? There's not a lot of us that force ourselves to dress like we don't want to dress. Talking about happiness. Where are you trying to find your happiness? And talking about the spirit of a harlot, we want to combine this a little bit. A girl that has not found peace within in associating herself with Christ. She does not have peace with God and herself. You will not be satisfied not to be noticed. You will continually struggle inside of yourself to want to be noticed. Why do you want to be noticed? Why do you want to be admired? Isn't it because you do not have your focal peace filled? The puzzles that I had up last night. We try the craziest things when we don't have that peace still. You can be totally modest in your clothing from neck to ankle. I said your clothing does tell on you, and it is true, it does a lot. But there are times when we as young girls are forced by our mothers to dress modestly. You can be totally modest in your clothing from neck to ankles and be greatly wanting in the spirit of modesty. You might still have the spirit of a harlot, and it's portraying itself. A few examples. Okay, let's talk about the eyes. A harlot uses her eyes to her advantage. Are you using your eyes to be daring and bold when you look at someone, when you look at a man? Are you gazing long into his eyes as you talk to him? Are your eyes saying, come, let's talk, discover me? Do you have a problem of standing in corners or in noticeable places in a building? When you go to church, check your heart. When you get up and stand in the back, or you get up and walk out, what is the real motive? Sometimes it's so, we scarcely think about it. And yet if we're entirely honest, we know, you know, it's not that necessary that I need to use the restroom right now. And I kind of want people to notice me as I walk back. We'd be a little disappointed if not one person would be looking at me. We'd be all looking out the side. Are you using artificial expressions, copying others, for your way of trying to be noticed? You see somebody else, and, oh, is that ever a cute expression? And you stand in front of the mirror and you try and try and try to recopy that expression because you think, I want to be noticed like that too. You have to remember the spirit of a harlot is the spirit of wanting to be noticed, wanting people's attention. When you walk into a room, what kind of person are you? Do you walk into the room with the attitude, here I am, notice me, and stand in a prominent place in the room where for sure all the boys or the girls can envy you and admire you, like you? Or do you walk into the room with the expression, there you are, my friend, I am so glad to see you. You're thinking of other people, you're not thinking of yourself. And I assure you, it is noticeable when a girl walks into a room and she has the attitude, here I am. I remember a girl in my youth group that kind of had that attitude, it seemed. She'd walk into a room just a little late, maybe after the church service would start, you struggle with coming up maybe just a little. A few minutes later, once about everybody's seated so they can see you. Talking about walking back through church services, I want to be very kind about this because some of us, if I realize different ones of us, if we're on medication sometimes, we cannot help it. We really must use the restroom sometime. We cannot wait that long. And I have a lot of sympathy. Believe me, I know what it's like. But if you're a young girl, if you use it just before you go, sit down, it's not exactly like you're pregnant. And need to go every hour, or that you have a baby and need to get up and go back. Just consider that a little bit. How necessary is my walking up? Am I taking glory away from the Lord in the church services that belongs to Him when people's minds are thinking of what the preacher is saying? And I get up and I walk back. And for 10 seconds, you took somebody's mind off of Christ. And thought of you, your form, or your beauty. Let's not take away from God's glory. Let's take this seriously. This is God's house, and not only here. Let's build that puzzle piece of happiness inside that we do not struggle with always wanting the attention that belongs to the Lord. We are not here to give attention to ourselves. We are here to point everybody's gaze and focus to Jesus Christ. Okay, another thing we need to watch is laughing loudly or boisterously. I'm not talking about a natural hearty laugh. Sometimes something very interesting is said and it just bubbles out just like that. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a laugh where deep inside you want to be noticed. You laugh because you want people's attention to be drawn to you. Giggling constantly. Over things that, if you would be by yourself, you wouldn't even consider funny. But because you're with the right company, you know, you giggle and you giggle around. Let's talk about the way we walk. This is a big one with a lot of young girls. first of all, I want to address you girls that are ages 10 to 14, and your physical body is starting to change. I remember how exciting that was for me. It was such an exciting time in my life. I wanted it long before. It was just so fun growing up, and after a bit I got this, well, a woman's time of life came to me, and it was so exciting to think, wow, I could have a baby. I really could have a baby if I would get married. And it is an exciting time. And we are not condemning you for that. Believe me, every one of us experienced that time one time in our life. What would you say if a 20-year-old boy would not eat all the food on his plate? He would leave his bed a riot every morning, his room a riot, his socks and shoes, and he wouldn't take any responsibility at all for himself. You'd say, it's time he grows up. It's time he accepts the responsibility that his age requires. Let's talk to you, young girl. God did not give you a changing body and the form of a woman until he knew that you are old enough to begin to accept the responsibility that brings on you. And there is responsibility. A lot of young girls, once their body starts changing, they are so excited about it. They think everybody has to notice and see it. And rest assured, we mothers, we do see when our daughters grow up. It's not that hard to see. But we begin by this. As much as we can, we put our shoulders back and we walk like this. And after a bit, we stretch in front of other people. We push our shoulders back as far as we can. We want people to know we're growing up. And it's exciting to grow up. But you need to accept the responsibility that comes in growing up. Your form is changing, and there is no denying it. Once your form changes, you are put into the category of a woman. You are getting a woman's body, and you need to have a woman's responsibility in that. Now you have the privilege of making your body a secret. And that's a privilege. That's exciting. You think, my body is changing. I have the privilege of starting to try to hide it and to preserve that body for my husband. Then there are girls. I can't even bring myself to do this, that believe in jiggling their hips. The way you walk, you know, you just sway them just the right way. And something in you tells you that it's supposed to be sensuous, but you don't realize what you're doing. You don't realize the fire you are playing with. And the danger that is in there, you are starting to put a spirit of a harlot in you. Once you have that spirit in you, woe is you. Your life is one downward road. You need to see it seriously as it is. And just an encouragement to the mothers. I don't want to teach anything to you, but just an encouragement. Sometimes it's our fault. Our daughters don't realize how serious this is. And if we would make it very hard for them, the more they walk that way, the looser we make their clothing, I think they would soon learn to walk in a becoming manner. Sometimes we hardly know how to walk because we are self-conscious, and there's others that go the other extreme and they just walk around like this and their shoulders bent forward and they're so self-conscious they cannot stand if anybody sees them. I'd like for you, and you hear of other people talking, oh, that girl walks terribly, you know, and after a bit you get so self-conscious, you think, how in the world do I even know how to walk? I don't know how. I mean, I'm feeling so self-conscious, and you're growing in heights, and you feel gangly, and you feel out of tune with your body, actually. I think it would be in order to do some practice walking. This is not something I'm trying to make you boost up your self-image, but just to learn what graceful walking is. Pick out someone older that really knows, that you admire and knows has the Spirit of Christ, and you really want to learn. how to walk. I advise you to line yourself up with a wall, with your back straight. Forget about your shoulders. Don't put them forward or back. Just keep them straight. Align yourself with the wall and walk. Put your feet maybe, oh, it depends how tall you are, just a comfortable medium step. Don't lift them high off the ground. Just glide them over the ground like this. And practice that for a while until it becomes natural, because I do have a heart when you really struggle with not knowing how to walk, with your changing body. But above all, do not even begin to let the devil put a step or the spirit of a harlot in you by pushing your shoulders back and trying to reveal your body as much as you can. You are a woman. Act like a true, mature woman. Accept the responsibilities of a woman and grow up. Okay. A flatterer of myself or of others. A flatterer is the spirit of a harlot. Sometimes in joking, we say, yeah, I did so and so, just right. And we know we're joking and the other person knows we're joking. But underneath there is a desire that they notice what I did and appreciate it. I think that sometimes falls under flattery without you realizing it. You flatter yourself because you want to have the love of others, the admiration of others. Is it because your puzzle piece is not totally filled with Christ? Are you insecure? I assure you, if you find Christ for what he meant to be, is meant to be in your life, you will not be an insecure person. You will feel complete in him. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. You must remember all harlots are being moved by the master player, the devil. A true princess is moved by the hand of Christ himself. Watch out for these harlot expressions and ways so that you are not being moved by the devil. Okay, let's discuss careless and loose. The way of a harlot is being careless and loose. We flop down beside and against boys. That is being totally careless and loose. That is putting a temptation in a godly or ungodly young man that is not meant to give. Are you letting the devil use you to tempt one of God's servants, to tempt you, what you call your Lord? Are you letting the devil use you to grieve your Lord? You should avoid that at all times, stopping down beside and against boys. It's just a careless and loose attitude about your body, about their body. Okay, are you using deadly charms in your life? When you talk to boys, or even women, do you flutter your eyelashes just at the right time? Do you use coy expressions? Do you pretend an interest in what they're saying when you have no interest? Are you trying to get the affection of a man by pretending interest in what he's saying when you have no interest? I'm not giving room for impoliteness. There are times we need to listen. But there are times when we try to put our charms on and just, oh, is that right? And just putting the right expressions and the right attitude and the right look in our eyes to try to draw this man to us. Does your interest in conversation stem from genuine concern? Or does it stem from a desire to make this man fall for you? Okay, let's talk about modesty and dress. We are responsible for modesty in clothing because we are not our own. We are never by ourselves unless we're in a forest, a barren desert, or locked room. We will constantly be rubbing shoulders with people. So our responsibility is to let God be glorified continually in our body. We will give no room for the devil to be glorified at all times. 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 through 8. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Are you despising God in your actions? You say, I do not despise him, I love him, but do your actions really come up to that? Are you despising his teachings? First Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. The way to glorify God is to bring glory to him, to make people's thoughts and attention go to him, not to us. Purity. That's one of my favorite verses in the English language. It's purity. There's something about it that is just so pure, so noble, so beautiful. Make purity your goal. Nothing is more beautiful. You might have to pass up on some dress and activities that others enjoy, but you will be happier. A pure princess is a very happy princess. Purity is more important than friends. Purity in dress is also. Friends that are attracted to you because of the way you dress are not worth keeping. If they love you because of the heart and the spirit that is in you, you will keep them. You do not need to dress to please them. You dress to please your Father in heaven, your King. If your heart and goals change and you have to lose them, Jesus is counting you more worthy of the kingdom of God. We strive for purity because our bodies are not our own. We are responsible to answer to our Creator for how we use his possessions. There is no such thing as being totally irresponsible in the world. Irresponsible people usually end up doing something crazy like shooting somebody, and they end up in jail. But you know what? They're responsible. A totally irresponsible person in the world is often put on the electric chair. There's nothing like being irresponsible. Maybe you say, well, I don't want to be responsible for others. The Colorado shootout occurred because people did not want to be responsible for other people. Not being responsible for other people is a very, very selfish way to live. I mean, there is no happiness in a world where nobody is responsible for the other. We are all responsible and judged by God accordingly, whether we decide to accept that responsibility or not. Many times we think, well, I just don't believe that. You think it's ridiculous if an atheist says, well, I just don't believe there's a God. You say, that doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. Truth is truth. And it's the same way in modesty. It doesn't matter what you choose to believe. You are not the one that created men and women and put desires in their heart. God is the one that did that. He made them perfectly. But you are not the deciding factor. With you deciding whether this is immodest or it isn't, that doesn't make any difference whether it is immodest or not. Truth is truth. Inward modesty is very important, but we need to remember that anything we wear outwardly should be that which lets our inside spirit shine out and does not cover it. Our radiant countenances and our spirit is what will win the world. I know Jesus Christ wins the world, but in essence, that is we princesses. That is our weapon to defeat Satan. It's our faces, our inward countenance, and our spirit that shines out. Please don't wear anything that's going to cover that up or draw attention to that instead of your radiant countenance. You need to wear something that will correspond with it. Proverbs 8:36, he that sinneth against me, it's talking about wisdom, wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. And I would just like to plead with you, love wisdom. Reach out for wisdom. Maybe it's treading on your toes, but love wisdom. If you hate it, you're wronging your own soul. You're ruining your own life. Okay, I'm going to do some clothing things, and I am not planning on addressing a lot on patterns. You have your mothers, and you have your pastors to advise you, and who am I to say what you should wear and what you shouldn't wear? It is a mother's responsibility to make sure the patterns her daughters are wearing are patterns that are becoming for a princess. And I will not tread on that ground a lot. But I'm going to more bring out how is that pattern fitting over your body. Sometimes you think, well, I'm obeying my mother, I'm obeying my church. But you're totally bypassing the entire thing that it is meant for. I am trying to come at this impartially, and I beg of you to do that too. Set yourself apart from your own wishes and desires and try to just lay down your own opinions for a little bit, and let's pretend we're not women and we're not men. Well, maybe we need to pretend we're men. Anyways, just stand outside of yourself for a little bit and help me with this. What is modesty in clothing? Is cape dresses modesty? No? One-piece dresses? Something that covers from neck to calves? Is that modesty? Absolutely not. That's one of the biggest mistakes we make, is we think we're modest if we're covered from here to the ankles. The world is very modest, if that's the case, very many times with their dresses. Modesty is not in covering your body. It is in concealing your form. That is modesty. Okay, let's read 1 Timothy 2:9 through 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You are professing godliness. Let your dress measure up to it.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, press 5 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.